Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith and Fandom Podcast. Vincent and Hector here, coming to you live from the floor at Heroes Con. And so obviously there's going to be some background noise.
Lots of background noise.
And we're probably going to have to stop the podcast every now and again to talk to people, hopefully.
So there's just random pauses. It's not because we're cursing. It's because...
No, all of our random pauses are Vincent's potty mouth.
Most of them are.
I've never actually had to edit you.
So. Oh, look at that. I try to watch myself.
get your life right and all. But we are on day two of Heroes Con. Vincent's day one. Vincent just got back yesterday from a mission trip to Haiti.
Yay!
And he's currently in the middle of sketching a Spider-Man and a Black Panther, and then... What else? Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom.
He has some pretty full... Hey, how you doing? He has some pretty full sketches lined up for the day. So we're back and enjoying what is one of our favorite shows of the year.
I love Heroes Con.
Heroes Con is a great con. And we are in a fantastic spot this year, but we're also right by the bathroom.
So if you hear flushing and air conditioning.
Some constant flushing. That's where we're at, but it's cool.
It's not that we're in the bathroom.
We're totally... This is not the podcast bathroom edition. We're saving that for Thanksgiving.
The day after Thanksgiving.
Yes. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Hey. So, yeah, that's...
So, you didn't call that man Green Night Light.
Anyway. It's been a while since we've actually been around each other. Not since May. And
has it been that long?
It's Mother's Day weekend.
Oh my gosh.
We went from Mother's Day to Father's Day without seeing each other.
That's sad. I don't like it.
It's our life right now. But we're at Heroes Con, and so let's discuss some of the things that have happened since then. Primarily, have we even talked about Avengers? We did that before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we did Avengers. We did do that.
We did not talk about Solo.
We have not talked about Solo. So let's go ahead and get some Solo thoughts out there. How did you feel about Solo, Vincent Stevens?
I was forced to see it a second time.
Oh, no.
And the second time was a little bit better. Mind you, I was also I went with my youth group, and I was not told to get tickets ahead of time, so I thought I had a ticket.
So one of my friends at the show,
go for it.
Watched it the second time with my youth group, but the thing is, like, I was in the dead front of one of those reclining theaters, and so it just wasn't, seeing it was really up and close and personal the second time. My thoughts were just, like, the story, everyone did a fantastic job acting-wise. Like, Solo was great. I thought everything was just fantastic about the acting, but the story was just kind of not the best. And I think that's the only complaint I have is just, like, the storyline was, like, what was it about?
It was an origin story. That's what it was about.
It was a terrible origin story.
Why?
Because I just didn't feel like I got to know who Han Solo was.
You got to see him become Han Solo.
Yes.
And that's the origin story, man. Like, they gave you the story. He was an orphaned kid. Do we really need to see 2-3 hours of some scrappy little kid on a planet being a lonely orphan? Wasn't that Anakin? Didn't we get in that story?
I liked Anakin's
story. Yeah, but, I mean, literally, Anakin's story is Han's story is Luke's story. It's all the same thing. Lonely desert, lonely kid on an alien planet.
Yes.
So.
I think I was expecting more.
All right, what were you expecting? Tell me what
I don't know.
Like.
I was expecting a lot more. That was not what I was expecting out of that movie. It was just, I think... Storyline, I wanted more. I wanted more depth into, like, who Solo was. I wasn't expecting a love interest in that story one. I think that was the kind of... I thought Solo was kind of this, like, Lone Ranger for a hot minute with him and just Chewie.
Well, and that's the thing you have to get to is that... did something fall down there? Oh, thank you. that's the thing. He had to get to become that Lone Ranger. And to become that Lone Ranger, it had to be that he had already tried to pursue someone. And in pursuing someone and being rejected and being abandoned that hardcore is what made him a Lone Ranger.
I wanted more Lando, too.
Okay. But I'm just saying, like, you got what you needed out of Solo, yeah. Or out of that, because that showed him why he was standoffish, why he was smug, why he was, you know, pushy and rejective towards relationships, because he had already been through that stuff.
Yeah.
And so you literally see him be, like, vulnerable and then crushed in that capacity. But, like, seriously, what else? Okay, so tell me about Lando. Like, what? How did you feel about Lando? What did you want from Lando?
I just wanted more. I think it's the thing. Like, I think we got more Lando than we have before. But I think, for me, I'm probably biased because I love Donald Glover. And I wanted more of Donald Glover in that scene.
Hey. All group study guide and everything, too. So, yeah, it's been pretty good. All right, so forgive us for getting actually what we were talking about, but we've had a few customers and interactions since the last time we were talking. But what would you have rather seen from Lando?
I just wanted more.
Okay. What?
I wanted to see more action from Lando. More of him fighting, I think.
Lando's not a fighter.
I know, but I wanted to see
Lando. Lando's a fancy man, as they refer to in Golden Girls Season 1, Episode 1, which is the only episode
look I... Look at you!
I tried to rewatch Golden Girls for your sake recently, and I'm like, oh, this is cute, but I'm not doing this right now.
You have to do it.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Season 1 is... All the episodes are good.
Okay, but going on.
We're not talking about Golden Girls.
Lando is not a fighter, dude. Lando, I mean, by nature, is a selfish coward.
Yeah.
Self-preserving, selfish coward, and at moments he has some good redeeming time, but by and large, Lando's not a fighter.
No, not at all.
He's not Han. That's not who he is. So what would you have wanted to see from him? In character, in capacity, in realistic scenario, what would you have actually wanted to see from him?
Just more. More Lando.
So you want a Lando movie?
Yes.
So you were inconvenienced by Han Solo's film, because it was about Han Solo.
Yep.
And not about Lando.
They promoted Lando Calrissian more than they did Han Solo.
No, they did not. No, they did not. They promoted Chewbacca more than they promoted either of them. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, dude.
I saw more Lando in the world of the world rather than...
That's because the world is excited of Donald Glover. I don't think anybody can even name who the actor for Han Solo is.
I can't.
And I kind of take pride in those things of, like, knowing my actor stuff. I don't even know the dude's name or anything else he's done.
I don't know who he is.
You know,
I think he was in a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Nicholas Sparks, Nicholas Cage, any Nicholas, it's a bad life choice.
Don't watch any sermons by JD then, because he talks about Nicholas Cage all the time.
No, he could talk about it. I just don't have to watch it. But, you know, so you wanted more Lando. Were you happy with what you got from Lando?
I was.
Tell me about that.
Tell me about what?
What made you happy about what you saw in Lando?
I like that he was fancy dressed. I like that he was kind of this con man. I liked everything. That I just wanted more. I wanted more Lando. Lando needs his own movie. And I know it probably would be terrible and will never happen.
It would be a terrible movie. It would be like a bad, like, Lando is basically Sawyer from Lost. But he's a supporting character.
I like Sawyer.
But Sawyer doesn't need his own movie.
No, Sawyer does not need his own movie.
Neither does Lando. I mean, you put anybody in a cape in space and they're Lando.
No. No. That is false. Everyone could be Lando Calrissian. That is false.
I mean, he was a suave man. I get that. How did you feel about Emilia Clarke?
Which one was that?
Khaleesi.
Okay.
How did you feel about the Mother of Dragons being the mother that she was to Han? But how did you feel about her as an actress, as a role? Did you feel like, what she? How do you feel like she did in it?
Again, like I said, all the acting was great. I just don't feel like the story was strong. Like, I just don't. I think that was my biggest complaint, was like, that story was, whoever wrote the story could have done a better job with all the amazing actors that they have. They could have just did better.
Now, here's the thing. You keep saying this. I don't feel like there was a lot of amazing actors.
Who was bad?
I didn't particularly love Han's performance. I didn't think he did bad.
Did you see it twice?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw it twice within 24 hours.
No. You can't do that.
It wasn't my call. It wasn't my call. But that's the thing. It's just I didn't love it.
So the second time, I thoroughly enjoyed the acting a lot more from Han Solo. That's the thing. I feel like there was a breaking point. The first 30 minutes of it, it was kind of like, what is this?
It's Aladdin in the future.
Yes! That is a perfect example. It's Aladdin in the future.
Like, when they're running through the streets, I'm like, riff raff, street rat!
I don't buy that. Yeah, it was Aladdin in the future.
And that's literally what it was. I was like, I was waiting for Han to like just say, "Do you trust me?"
You're ridiculous.
But that's what it was. Now, personally, I feel like Lando did fine. I don't feel like Emilia Clarke is good at anything but Khaleesi.
No, because she was in a me and Stephanie watched a movie that she was in that was pretty good, but she was not playing any sci-fi character at all. Like, she was helping, I think this is before she was Khaleesi or in between she was Khaleesi. She was helping some rich guy that was paralyzed, and she did a really good job at that movie.
No, but like when she was Sarah Connor in the last Terminator movie.
I didn't see
that. I'm like, she was not Sarah Connor. How you doing, bro? But, like, I thought she was a terrible, like, underwhelming Sarah Connor. Like, she, like, you take away the dragons, and there's not much mother left. I just don't feel like she was a great addition. I mean, Chewbacca was fine.
Can you really be a bad Chewbacca?
You can't grow Chewbacca. Now, this was our first time with a brand new dude being Chewbacca, though. Like, permanently.
Yeah.
But I thought he did a good job. And watching Han speak Wookiee was cute.
That was cute.
The whole robot thing with Lando was funny. L7 or L1. Control, yeah, L1. Delete, whatever. Yeah. L1. For the longest time. For the longest time, when I was listening to her, I thought it was Gwendolyn Christie.
Which one is that?
Phasma. Like, it sounded like her, but it's not. It was a British comedian. But she sounded a lot like Phasma, a lot like Gwendolyn Christie.
Oh.
So I was confusing. I was like, did they give her two Star Wars roles? But it was, you know, I thought Solo was okay, but it wasn't anything that, like, it wasn't my favorite Star Wars movie.
Oh,
it wasn't,
definitely not.
It wasn't my least. But it might...
What's your least favorite?
Probably Episode 1.
What?
Episode 1 is a bad Disney movie.
I enjoyed Episode 1. And people are like, oh, you haven't seen it as an adult. I have, and I still enjoyed it.
Episode 1 is a bad Disney
movie. Thing is, like, I'm not going to say the whole movie, and people are like, oh, you're black. You're supposed to not like Episode 1. And I'm like,
well, why would that be a thing?
Because of Jar Jar.
That's silly. Disliking Jar Jar is not a racial thing. Disliking Jar Jar is a taste thing.
No, but they were like, he's racist. And then they were saying the guy who...
He's failed you. But, I just, you know, I would put it above Episode 1. And...
Did you like it better than Rogue One?
No, I enjoyed Rogue One.
Oh, okay.
Rogue One had a... Rogue One had a really solid cast. You had Alan Tudyk as, you know, and that's literally, Rogue One was the movie Serenity with Star Wars characters, and you actually had Wash as the pilot in both stories. So, I giggle through the whole thing. But I also haven't watched Rogue One since theaters.
And I have, because I did not like it when I first saw it.
I liked it when
second
I first
saw it. Second time I liked it.
I watched it once, and that was kind of good enough. And we also watched it on our Disney vacation in IMAX, and it was a pretty big deal. But yeah, the Solo was okay to me.
Yeah, I agree. It was okay. It wasn't. I was kind of upset that I saw it twice.
Yeah, and that was one of the things. I saw it with my staff, and opening night. And when I got done, I was kind of sad that I knew I had to watch it again with the kids. But they had a blast.
That's good.
The kids enjoyed it.
Yeah, and same thing. Like, the kids enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it for what it was, and then that was it. Like,
well, then bring and then making the return of Darth Maul canon is a big deal.
Yes.
If nothing else, if that movie exists, just to put that on.
And that was the only reason that I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here.
Because here's the deal: that Maul could still be out there.
Maul is still out there, obviously.
No. That was post episode one. And then.
Oh, yeah, because he never died. His leg just got blown off.
Yeah, that was post episode. That was post episode one. But episode one, between Solo and Last Jedi, is like 40 years.
What if Darth Maul was Snoke? I'm kidding. No. That's not real. That's a joke.
But what if Darth Maul is above Snoke?
Marketing with Darth Maul's surprise appearance at the end of the Solo film, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to me, too.
I was
shocked.
And that's just really also cool in the fact that they're actually taking stuff from, like, the cartoons and making it canon in the films, as they continue to do.
Yes.
Because they did that with Rogue One, Forest Whitaker's character was originally from the animated series. From, I don't remember if it was Clone Wars or Rebels, but he's from one of those.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'll be super honest, I haven't watched any of those.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of it. I've seen stuff, like, in passing, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, but I wasn't like, I didn't know what was going on.
No, to be honest. That might be one of those summer watching projects with the kids to go through, like, Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff. But yeah. Real quick. So let's go on. How did you feel about Deadpool 2?
The thing is, when you said my favorite character is in here, I should have knew it, too. Because I know who your favorite Marvel character is. And...
well, to be fair, it could have been Nightcrawler.
It could have been... but I know... but no, you don't talk about Nightcrawler as much as you talk about the Juggernaut. Like... and I should have known that. Because you... when... what movie was that? Was it X-Men 3?
Yes.
Yes, when the X-Men 3 came out, you acted like a little kid at a candy shop, even though that was probably the worst X-Men movie.
That was a terrible X-Men movie, and it was a horrible Juggernaut, but it was still the Juggernaut.
It was hilarious.
But no, like, Deadpool's reaction to the Juggernaut coming on screen was my reaction.
Oh!
You're my favorite part. And, like, the whole time, bro, when they started showing the monster and the tapping on the door thing, like, I was like, it's going to be Juggernaut.
I could not.
It's going to be Juggernaut.
Yeah, it was. I could so not pumped. Stop laughing. Hold on. Keep pause.
But no, for real, having Deadpool bring Juggernaut into it really made it about as good as it could get for me.
Oh, definitely.
like, that was it. Like, if nothing else had happened... I probably would have been good with that. And then, like, you know, the whole superhero, the CGI fight, like, with Colossus and Juggernaut.
That was funny.
That was about as good as it gets.
That was funny.
That's about all you can
I think I saw Solo Saturday, and I said saw Deadpool Sunday, and it was just like...
yeah. Wish I would have watched that instead.
Wish I would have saw this twice instead of this... this movie once.
And, you know, I think they did a good job with the writing of it as far as, like, development. Because, honestly, they, you know, Vanessa would have kind of been in the way.
She would
have been away in the story. But at the same time, killing her off made that whole thing more meaningful.
Yes.
But then they totally, like, wiped it at the end anyway and brought her back. So,
yeah.
You know... again, they didn't kill off Marina Baccarin, which is, you know, a good life choice because...
you should never kill her off.
You should never kill her off. Gotham, Firefly, wherever, you don't kill off Marina.
No.
but that was really good. Can I just say, my least favorite part of any of that movie was the fat Amy wannabe kid. Like the mutant kid, the kid that the Deadpool was trying to save.
Oh, was he trying to be fat Amy?
I don't know, but that's what I got the vibe of. I felt like the whole thing was him doing a fat Amy impression.
I think he was just trying. I think he was there for comic relief, and
I get that. But I mean, it really did give off the vibe of the dude was trying to be fat Amy, and I just didn't enjoy that. So the with that kid, I get he was trying to be comic relief, but like his accent, bad acting, and
yeah,
just annoying presence kind of like downgraded the quality of everything else that was happening.
Who was he supposed to be?
Nobody.
Okay. Because I read X-Men and I'm like, I don't know who you are.
No, I don't think he was. Well, then like the adult version of him will actually look pretty dope.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the adult version looked pretty dope. But like, his character now as like, well, that was pretty weak sauce. But yeah, he kind of dialed down the quality of that for me. I don't know. What was your favorite part?
I like that he had this team of villains, and then every one of them dies except Domino, and then kind of underplays Domino at the same time.
Yeah.
I think, oh, wow.
okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But, you know, I felt that the X-Force thing was good. I know some people were pretty upset they got Rickrolled into thinking they were going to get a real X-Force team up.
I didn't.
Like, with like Terry Crews and they were expecting stuff, and I'm just like, what? But then, did you see that,
it was Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Yeah, that was hilarious. The guy that was, Long Shot, the one that ended up in the, how did Longshot die? Or whatever his name was.
Which one's Longshot?
The helicopter guy. The guy that went through the helicopter blades. The from Mojo World.
Oh.
Yeah, but either way.
Yeah.
That guy. they're saying he might be Nightwing in a live action movie. Like, he just did a meeting with DC and posted some cryptic message on Twitter. So he might be the live action Nightwing, which would fit out well timeline wise because, you know, that should be about the appropriate age for Ben Affleck's Batman.
I thought Ben Affleck wasn't doing Batman anymore.
That's just rumor to this point. There's a Justice League villain movie that might be coming, like a Legion of Doom or whatever. And honestly, their villains are their stronger suit anyway, even if Suicide Squad wasn't the better movie.
Oh my gosh. It could have been great, though.
It could have been. But even though Suicide Squad wasn't that, it still has carried better marketing-wise and everything else.
Yeah.
With the soundtrack, the villain merch, the... I mean, it's...
Harley Quinn made that movie.
Harley Quinn and Will Smith were great in that. Yeah. But
that wasn't my favorite characters in the movie. I mean, Diablo was my favorite in the whole movie.
Diablo always felt weak sauce to me.
I like Jay Hernandez as an actor.
So I don't even know who that is.
He's in a lot of things that I like.
Most actors are. but with that, people were upset about the X-Force Rickroll, but I didn't care about
really?
That. Yeah, they were upset that and Terry Crews said he felt horrible about it. But I thought they did a good job with Domino.
Yes.
But, you know, Domino also just relaunched a book with Gail Simone writing it. Oh my gosh.
I heard it's really good.
It's so good. I've got the first three issues.
I'm going to have to read that.
But I love Gail Simone's writing. Like, it's kind of the point in my life where I realize if Gail Simone writes it, I'm going to read it. I'm just a Gail Simone fan like that. I'm honestly at the point that anything Gail Simone does, I'm a follow. And she always does me good. We don't agree on everything, you know, in life or anything, but like that. But she really does.
I mean, that's most people.
Yeah, most people. But she is by large one of my favorite writers of anything.
What is she, right?
She did Secret Six.
Okay.
So she was responsible for all of Secret Six.
Yeah.
She has done a lot of the successful Suicide Squad stuff. Go. Hey, man. She did a good Wonder Woman run. She's writing right now Plastic Man and Domino.
Ooh.
So she's doing both of those. So she's pretty amazing. But no, Gail has a way of making inhuman and distance and damaged people really relatable.
Yeah. You
know, which I think is really essential just for, you know, life. So
yeah.
That's good. But yeah, her stuff on Domino, like, it like makes me actually care. So
okay.
I cared more about Domino in the movie and Deadpool after actually reading Gail's comics. Even though they're totally different. But it made me care a little bit more.
How so?
Like the depth of what Domino's gone through with her powers, her emotions, and how people deal with her. It's a lot. So realistically speaking, I enjoyed Deadpool 2 way better than Avengers or Solo.
Yes.
It was just way much more enjoyable. And the soundtrack for Deadpool 2, man, that acoustic cover of Take On Me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was really good.
I DJ'd a wedding the week after it.
Did you play it there?
Oh, heck, I played almost the entire Deadpool 2 soundtrack.
I need to get...
Because I realized when I watched that, I don't own a copy of In Your Eyes. In your eyes, the light in your eyes. You know, and that's that classic moment from Say Anything.
Yeah.
And that's a Cameron Crowe thing, and I should have long owned that, and I didn't.
I was about to say, you love some Cameron Crowe.
I love some Cameron Crowe. And so I should have long owned that. But, yeah, that's...
I haven't seen Say Anything in a hot minute.
I watched it once. I didn't. I think it was above my depth at that point when I watched
it. When did you watch it? As a teenager?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't think I was quite ready for all that it actually was. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with that. It's still one of those weird things, though, like, you know, being a fan of a Deadpool movie when it's so abrasive and there is so much vulgarity to it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, with my parents, for my youth kids, they usually kind of go off with things that I say, and I was like, I saw it and I thought it was fine. Deadpool 2, not the first one.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but the language is pretty rough. I mean,
oh yes, but the thing is, like, a lot of my kids aren't here, that they're in public school.
But I think the count was like 94 F-bombs.
Was it?
Yeah. Like, I think someone actually did a count. And it was 94, if I'm not mistaken on that number.
I don't really pay attention to language like that anyway. It's just...
What's like, you know... But, I mean, there was a lot of good elements.
Stop talking to him. Man, I want to...
But it's just one of those things that, like... It's hard to put any kind of public stamp on something like that. Because I just remember, like... We caught a lot of backlash when we first did the Deadpool chapter in book 3.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they still get, like, people look at the print and they're like, what?
But then at the same time, there are people that love it.
Yeah.
And so, and that's one of the things I think has always been kind of our heart is, like, trying to find the people that are isolated and, you know,
yeah,
separated to bring them into that and, like, to make them feel like they're not completely, like, unwanted in that.
No.
So, like... Is, you know, it's one of those things, like, the majority of the average dude or, you know, entertained adult is going to watch Deadpool.
Yes.
And I don't want them to feel like, because you've watched Deadpool,
you're going
to talk to you.
Exactly.
And I don't want to, that you're not wanted because of that. So, you know, I think it's a good middle ground. You know,
yeah,
it's not like my profanity level has picked up or I've started decapitating
people. Oh, no, definitely
people.
Not.
Because
I mean, I've profanity level hadn't picked up since Deadpool. I mean,
yeah. It's just I will say, throwing in the cameo of the actual whole X-Men team.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That was fun.
And it happened so fast.
It did. I wonder how they got away with that.
No, they owned it.
Did they?
Yeah, that's the same team. The joke was that they couldn't afford to pay them.
Yeah.
And so to bring them all in, I bet they took that shot
from
the upcoming movie.
The upcoming movie coming out.
And I bet that's what they did with that. You know, the language and everything else that comes with the tenacity of a Deadpool movie is pretty out there. But I think at the same level, you could have a good Deadpool animated series and keep it PG.
I mean, they were going to do one, and I mean, it got canceled.
Yeah.
The Glover Brothers were about to do one, and then apparently they had a Taylor Swift episode, and then you don't miss the Taylor Swift.
Well, and that's just like one of the things. It's just like Deadpool. You remember Freakazoid?
Yeah.
You can literally cut Freakazoid out and insert Deadpool, and it's the same series.
Yeah, I agree. We're just kidding. Everyone's just stopping.
Right, go ahead and introduce yourself real quick. We're recording. Go for it.
Tim Davis, co-owner, co-founder of PD Comics.
All right. So, Tim walked by. We were saying that, Deadpool, you know, one of the reasons, like, why it's hard to, like, publicly promote Deadpool too, like from a ministerial standpoint, is like the content level. And I was like, the same idea, you could have a solid PG-esque Deadpool animated series, and it basically be, you can make it clean and still be ridiculous and still get accomplished the same thing. I was like, if you basically cut and paste Deadpool into Freakazoid from the 90s, you could have almost the same show. Add some bullets to Freakazoid, and it's the same thing.
I mean, okay.
I mean, like, think about
it. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah. It's like the same, like, I just remember, like, the whole thing with Cave Guy's underwear is brown. Like, right. With Freakazoid, Cave Guy's underwear is brown. Ooh, well, like,
yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah,
it's Deadpool without guns. And I was like, and, like, you could make a much more palatable.
But that's not what people want. Though,
that's, I know.
I don't want a palatable.
No, but I get leave the movies what they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stuff like make it something like that. Because most of the Deadpool that up until, you know, we hit the full movies was stuff like in Spider-Man cartoons.
Yeah.
Or Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
I mean, where it could be still PG and still digestible. I mean, because like literally the best version of Deadpool up until the movies was in Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yes.
So here's the thing. We can't go back.
No.
This already happened, so we can't go back to a Deadpool that's palatable for...
No, but you can have children. You can have the distinction, because if you can have Frank Miller's I'm the GD Batman and still have The Brave and the Bold, you can do that. Which is really funny, like the New Justice League comic.
Yeah.
The entire Justice League,
like the one
that just came out.
Yeah, that, and
there's one of the opening scenes in the new Justice League comic is the entire team ragging on Batman for I'm the GD Batman, where they're in the middle of fighting a battle and they're like doing Batman voices, like no, Diana's is the best. Do yours, Diana. And they're like,
I saw a panel of that. I think it was. You to put that up. Was that you to put it up?
I put some up from, I don't think I put that up, but I put, I'm always posting my favorite panels, but let's.
Someone put up a panel of, they were all sitting, and like they were talking about.
But then they're like, we can't do this without Clark here, because Clark does the best Batman. And they're like, no, he doesn't. I mean, that's a thing. But it's just, I really think that Deadpool has, there's just still a stigma to the R-rated level of Deadpool that could.
Well, what do you think about them taking it from Donald Glover? Like, he was...
We were just talking about that.
I was so mad. Yeah.
I was so mad.
Well, I think he was doing a non-palatable Deadpool.
I think he was.
Like, he was keeping up with the Deadpool franchise. He was staying on target. And I don't think FX wanted one. I think they wanted something more mainstream. I don't know.
Well, he was saying that he heard there was, like, some Taylor Swift.
There was a Taylor Swift episode, and that was going to be the fourth episode, and it, like, they were like, no, it got cut.
Does she have that much power?
Yes.
Yes.
She ruined Kanye West. I mean, yes.
Yeah. Kanye West ruined Kanye West.
Kanye was already ruined.
No.
I'm sorry, sir.
Let me not talk about
Let's
Kanye.
Let's not talk about Yeezy.
Kanye is the one that got on stage. I'm going to let you finish. From that point on, he crossed the Taylor Swift Illuminati.
He apologized.
And he has gone.
When his mother died.
He's not an Illuminati.
No, the Taylor Swift Illuminati.
Oh. He was already crazy, but when his mama died, he went insane.
What do you expect, though? Like,
yeah.
He's mentally unstable, and we knew that from day one. That was a day one thing. Yeah. And then you have all these things happen to you, and like.
Yes, I'm snapping at Vincent because he is angrily frustrating his patrons that have paid him for art. So get the sketch in, sir.
What do you think of our new Man of Steel? Like, Vincent, what do you think of him? Coming over.
I don't care about Bendis. Putting Bendis on something?
Yeah.
You put Nick Cage on it. I don't care. It's like, I understand Bendis is good at what he does.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller.
But if Bendis would have to tackle a less cakewalk property for me to care.
Right.
Because giving Bendis Superman is not a challenge.
No.
Giving Bendis Superman... It's just not.
Have you started reading it?
I read the first one.
I'm on the second one. And it starts, they pretty much start off the same way every time. It starts off before and then it goes to current. But it's good. I'm enjoying it. It's a good take on the new story. Did you read the DC, DC Nation?
Yes.
Pre-story?
Yeah.
Really good. And you see that tying in. I'm really enjoying it, but I think Bendis crossed over because they gave him a handful of money, or a bucket of money, and he just said, I want to do Superman, they're like, okay.
Yeah, and I get that.
That's pretty much it.
I get that, but I mean, I want a world where you don't have to live on the monopoly effect of a writer, because right now, Gail Simone is writing for DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
If you're a good writer, tell me a freaking good story.
Exactly. Just write
and
a good
stop
story.
Stop playing for teams.
Right.
But on that, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to close this out. So this is Tim with PD Comics, Vincent, and I. And
I just waved.
He waved. He waved at the podcast.
It's okay.
So
just don't let him live that down. He waved at the podcast.
We're gone forever.
Stop. All right. And we're out. I've got to leave. I'm legitimately quitting this podcast and walking upstairs because it's Pokemon Community Day, and I need to catch a Tyranitar. So, talk to you later.